Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 3rd of February, and I'm recording at 9:25 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Well, there's a lot of red here on the screens regarding these stock markets. If we take Asia, the only one that I've seen that's actually up on the day is Thailand, which of course has been battered since last May, but it was up 1.45%, and that was a rare exception. Japan was down 2%, and now a lot of the China markets remain closed, and that includes Taiwan. And also, I noticed that this is Chinese New Year, of course, and I noticed that Malaysia and also Vietnam remain closed. But those that are open were weak in Asia, with the exception of Thailand, as I've already mentioned. Now, looking at the European indices, we saw some big hits here today. The Euro Stock 50 index, that's down 1.66%. The UK was only down, I say only, but not 0.69 of 1%. But the others are all over 1%, and the Italian MIB market was down 2.63%. So biggish hits all the way around. Now, same thing happened in the Americas. Wall Street, which had ranged sideways for 5 days, below its deck Jan highs, of course. But it was hit hard in here today. The Dow down 2.08, the S&P a little more at 2.28, and the NASDAQ a little more still at 2.61% on the day. So those are big dynamics, and not without consequences either. Now, in terms of news items, the ISM manufacturing gauge came in lower, and that probably contributed to the selling, but I just felt that the follow-on, you know, Monday and following on weak Asia, that it was a bit vulnerable. So fortunately, I reopened my NASDAQ 100 index short. I think it was about 20 points above where I covered it last week during this ranging phase. And given the big hit that we've seen in here, I mean, the Dow, for instance, is right back to its 200-day moving average. I would be very surprised if it stopped there for long. And it's seen its biggest reaction, or a bigger reaction than at any time last year. Now, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100 indices have seen, after today, they've seen their biggest setbacks since May-June of last year. So that's not all that exceptional, but perhaps more importantly, they have also broken their sequence of higher reaction lows. They've taken out the December reaction lows and broken what was that particularly consistent little staircase pattern that we had on the leading NASDAQ 100 index. Now, Canada down a point and a half in terms of percentages, and 1.5%, I should say. Mexico, slight decline, 1/3%. Brazil, 3.13%, so that was the biggest of all that I've quoted in here so far. So, tough day here overall, and Wall Street obviously is not going to help the Asian markets that are open tomorrow. And that will include Japan, and the yen has strengthened a bit in here against the US. For instance, we've now got it's just below the 101 level. That's down over 1 yen here today. I don't think the Japan market will like that, particularly now that the Nikkei 225 has taken out that 15,000 level. And also, since the TSE 2, that's that second section index, which had been rivetingly strong until really last Friday, I believe. But that's broken its reaction low of a few days earlier. It had a big hit in here today. So very much into this or extension of this corrective phase here overall, and it's the nature of markets to fall faster than they rise when you're getting a corrective phase. In my own view on Wall Street, as I've repeated before, is that I think that we will see at least a 10% correction in here. And I think that 2014, I've always said, or I've said for months, that I thought it would be a choppy, rangy, somewhat volatile year. And with that negative January effect, with the earnings being flattered by share buybacks at a time when actual revenue, in other words, the income that was coming into shares was declining because of the slow performance of global GDP growth, then the QE tapering and the concern that brings about. I think this is going to be at least 10% correction, unless Janet Yellen, who was sworn in here today as leader of the Fed, unless she decides to ride to the rescue here by postponing further QE tapering, which it's her right to do if she wishes. Or even reverses it somewhat and steps up the numbers again. Now that, of course, if that were to happen, and this is where the shorts need to be careful, they need to have stops in place, because if that were to happen, then it would immediately lead to a sharp short covering rally. But beyond that, I don't think it would be well received, and I think she will try to resist that here overall, because Wall Street hasn't pulled back very far, at least not so far in here. But a lot of other stock markets, most other stock markets, are certainly weaker, and including those that had peaked last May or thereabouts. So again, I think there are no surprises in here. I feel for subscribers who've been following the commentary that we've had in both the written and in the audio. But I don't think this will turn into a disaster for the major markets, but it may sidetrack the Wall Street bull market for at least a lengthy medium-term phase overall. And where there are governance problems and debt, major debt concerns as to whether bills can actually be paid in some of these emerging markets, they can see even bigger setbacks. But you've got a lot of variety out there. Some of the late movers in the bull market, and those would include a number of the inform Middle Eastern markets that are not in political crisis or chaos. They're still very firm in here overall. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? I'm just going to check that U.S. 10-year because I can't remember it. But the yield declined quite sharply here. And let me just give me just a moment to bring this up. Okay, US 10-year yield is still trading here after hours, but it's at 2.5698, so just say 2.57 here. Now that's the lowest that we have seen, and that's a sharp drop here today, and that's the lowest we've really seen since last October, when it got down to, it looks like 2.47. That was the reaction low. And I think that will be tested. Well, you could argue it's already not far off being tested. If we were to see the yield go below that October reaction low for more than a brief period, that would raise a few eyebrows from my office, perhaps to your office or home, to the Fed, most importantly of all. Mind you, it's still a long way off the lows that we saw down in April and May of last year at 1.60, or just above that level. But with stock markets in retreat, this has obviously caused some people to do a little so-called safe haven buying back in the treasuries. Okay, what else happened here today? The dollar, which had been quite firm last week, easier in here today. On the dollar index, 81 point. Well, it's just a fraction above 81. I want to look at the Indonesian rupee, which I hadn't seen except much earlier today. That's still at 62.57, so that's not a good level for India here right now. I think we need to see it below, back below 62 to steady that stock market. So that will be vulnerable tomorrow as well. I suspect. And looking at other currencies in here, looking at these Western currencies, sterling slipped to 1.63 against that soft dollar index. So that's a bit of a surprise in terms of that weakness. Whereas the euro firmed a little bit, it's up to 135.32. The Australian dollar still at 0.8744 against the US here overall. Now, precious metals, well, at least platinum, gold, and silver, they saw small rallies in here, gold back up to 1256.97, so virtually 1257. And silver, which was very close to its range lows, picked up here a little bit. It's at 19.325. But looking at the bond yields and the softness of stock markets, we're likely to have a little bit of a disinflation scare as well. Now, will that push precious metals up? It's a tough call. It really is a tough call. I'm absolutely candid with you on this. I've been saying that the longer they ranged in here above the summer lows, last summer's lows, around that whole May, June, July, August period, that that would be favorable. But these are still very much range bound here overall. As I've said before, I don't think there's a lot of downside risk. But buyers are cautious, and there's still some shorts in there, and they have not been squeezed out yet because there hasn't been a strong enough rally to actually achieve that. Now let's look at some of the other commodities here to round out this little review. Industrial metals, which were soft last week, I think they'd been down 7 days and more. They'd been down, I think, 7 days in a row. Well, 6 or 7, I believe. But certainly we see further declines here today, with the exception of nickel. Which is a little bit higher. Crude oil, a little bit softer as well. We've got the WTI down to, that's the US, of course, that's 96.65, and the Brent down to 106, 01. And agricultural commodities. Coffee strong in here today, very strong. And I see this KC1, that's up 10 to over 10, nearly 11, to 1 cents. That's up to nearly 136. I think that was the biggest gainer overall, although sugar is steady in here as well. Remember, sugar had that big upside day on Friday, when Owen and I were both too busy to open the shorts that we'd been talking about. That's our excuse at any rate. And although I did short, I beg your pardon, I did, and we were talking about buying them. We were wanting to buy them, let me get the language right here. But I did buy the U.S. white sugar contract in here today. That had a big upside day on Friday, when I really should have bought it, or earlier last week, because it was certainly steadying. Thus the comment to that effect. It could easily see some further short covering and perhaps some long buying, to at least get back and test the declining 200-day moving averages for sugar. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights here today. So on that note, all the very best to all of you.